What, Danny?
I'd have to go through my IG. He's in there.
I need that.
His name?
That is it. Because Frank's going to get me that contact.
Word. Let me look. Sounds so loud. D-Mello? Oh, wow. Yeah, very loud I sound.
Turn your headphones.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nesta Gibbs, joined alongside Ringwalk Danny, and we're here to discuss Jermell Charlo, Terrence Crawford. You know, it's funny because, man, YouTube is like my own personal video catalog of my life. Like, bro, I already did this. I've been here, done that, talking about Terrence Crawford versus Jermell Charlo. And, you know, Bob Arum was the promoter back then of Terrence when we all thought this was a good idea. We all thought it was a good fight. And that didn't happen way back then. Man, so I don't know that we'll ever get this, but we do have more context. We have new quotes and audio courtesy of Brian Custer and the Last Stand podcast with Showtime. Shout out to Brian Custer. Ringwalk, what's up, brother? Good to see you. No morning show, obviously. First time seeing you. How's everything, bro?
Man, everything's good, man.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Sun was shining on my way in. I was like, damn, I probably should you know, I had to put the blockers on us too.
Oh, you got some lentes?
No, the visor.
Oh.
The visor. The sun was too strong, bro. The sun was too strong. But that's a good thing, right? The sun was shining, and we are here, obviously, to discuss this saga, man. The saga continues.
Mm. Is it that? You think it's a saga already?
Oh, it's been a saga.
Charlo Crawford.
I think just the camps, you got to understand, you know, that's still the same camp. Derrick James will still have to work the corner for the man on the night. You get what I'm saying? It's the same corner. So it's the same camp. That is Jermell Charlo and Errol Spence Jr. I just found this shit funny because, you know, they ain't doing no biting of their tongues. They're not holding anything back. So, you know, they're going to speak their mind. So I love to see it, but it is a saga, Ness.
Wow. I mean, I guess when you factor in everyone involved, the way that you're trying to do, you know, meaning both camps, I can see that.
You have to. I think you have to, no?
I guess. I mean, I can see that, but... You know, it's boxing. It isn't a team sport. It's mano a mano. And, you know, Crawford and Charlo, I don't know that it could be labeled a saga simply because I'm backdating it to, I don't know, April of 2020.
Mm.
I'd had an interview with Bob Arum. We talked about Charlo as an opponent, the back and forth Twitter feud that took place many, many years ago between Crawford and Charlo. But that seems to have escalated. They've continued throughout the years. Here we are about to go into 2023, and they're still talking, bro. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not mad at all. I like it. I wish it were easier to make this type of fight, especially since they can't make Errol Spence, which is the fight that we want. What a caveat it would be for us as boxing fans, for Terrence to then say, cool, let me fight Jermell, and for Jermell to be available and willing. I don't know that that is the case, though, Danny. I mean... It's kind of like what Devin says, man. These guys are saying everything but fight me, man. you know. I've heard Jamel say things like, you know, oh, humble yourself, stay down there, blah, 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 you know, fight Errol Spence, could come up here fucking with me, yada, 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 you know. And it's just like, I want what Errol did. And
which
it's crazy. It's crazy that you know, he's not like my favorite fighter. He should probably be. I need to probably change everything for him to be, because think about it, bro. He doesn't take fucking tune-ups. He says what he says. And he does what he says, you know. It's just the exact opposite of a lot of these fighters, you know what I mean? He's running to challenges. You know, he's fighting champions. I don't know. I'm not saying Charlo isn't doing that, but when Mikey called out Earl, he didn't say, oh, he's too small. He didn't say, oh, that's a waste of my time. Even if I said it myself, which I did. You know, I didn't think Mikey had a shot. But he didn't make excuses as to why Mikey don't have a shot the way that Charlo does. Charlo's always saying why Terrence can't come up there and fight him. Why it's a bad idea to go up there and fight him. Bro, just tell that man to go up there and fight you.
You really feel that way? Right, you really feel that way? Come find out.
Yeah, it's so silly to me. It's like, bro, you guys are in the fighting sport, but you talk about reasons why a fight can't be made more than fucking making the fight. It's pretty crazy. But I'm going to go ahead and pull up some audio.
All right.
So, gentlemen, I'll let you know when we're ready exactly. But I do want to play this audio. We are going to have Hector Luis Garcia, the champion, who's going to be taking on Gervonta Tank Davis in D.C. Do you know what venue? Have they announced that?
Yes.
Okay, because I couldn't find it.
Yes, it is. Hold on.
He's looking. Capital One in D.C.?
Yeah, I think it is. Is that where the – yes, that is the Capital One Arena. We're at home of the Washington Wizards.
Okay. So I got my audio pulled up. This is, once again, courtesy of Showtime Boxing and Brian Custard.
That means Bud Crawford at 154. And
You know, let me back it up.
Taking on the undisputed champ.
They said at a wrong point. Watch this.
Terrence Crawford off of fighting him at the welterweight division. So now all of a sudden you out there naked in the streets.
He talking about
now
Keith
you,
here.
You want to fight everybody.
He calling Keith naked.
Come on, man. We don't believe you, Keith. We don't believe you.
Jermell, how about here Jermell Charlo?
Of course. I'll beat his ass any day.
Mm.
Wow.
So now he's about to go into what he wanted. But obviously
he said any day.
He's about to go into what he wanted, but obviously they didn't give him that because boxing doesn't let fighters move like this.
So that means Bud Crawford at 154 and taking on the undisputed champ.
Listen, this was definitely what I said, and I ain't got to lie. You know what I mean? I promise you. I said if I can't get the Errol Spence fight, I want to go right in to Jermell Charlo, you know what I mean? But Jermell got all kinds of mandatories, and he already lined up the fight and stuff like that. So, of course, that couldn't happen, you know what I mean? So the main focus was Errol Spence, you know? And Jermell Charlo, you know what I mean, he run his mouth a lot. He be all sensitive and stuff, but he can fight. He got some skills, you know? We respect him in the ring, but, you know, I believe Errol Spence is a tougher challenge than Charlo.
We're good on that. Is that crazy or what? He thinks Earl is a tougher challenge than Charlo. And I get it. I think a lot of people think that. You know, I think a lot of people think that. But, man, it's Charlo that undisputed. You know, it's Charlo that has shown he's got levels, front foot, back foot. Started his career as a boxer, finishing his career as a puncher. And he's undisputed. Did we say that?
He's undisputed.
Okay, I didn't know if we said that or not because it's like, whoa.
Could you believe perhaps what Tony Harrison has done in both of his fights with Jermell Charlo has shown Terrence Crawford enough for him to
Absolutely. As a fighter, right, there's no doubt in my mind that as a fighter, you're not watching a fight like, come on, bro, I'm way better than so-and-so. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like ball players. You know what I'm saying? They see you, they like, man, come on, bro. I would have picked you off. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I think he does look at certain fights and feel that. But that's the thing. It's always easier from the outside looking in. It's always easier that way. But we are waiting for Hector Luis Garcia to join us here in studio. In the meantime, ladies and gents, don't forget, you know the number to call in is 1-425-569-5221. You know, Brian Custard asked Terrence, he said, hey, you get so much stick in the media. They say that you don't like the media, that you don't do media. So obviously he gave his reasons as to why he doesn't do interviews. But he has been on a bit of a media tour, is he not?
Who, Crawford?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, bro.
Absolutely.
I think I would say in the last 2-3 months, he has done more interviews than I've seen in a fight week.
Mm.
Or, you get what I'm saying? Or just combined, like, and he is not just doing more interviews, but he's just being more open. He's opening his mind, you know, he's being more open with things and kind of letting the fans and the public in on what's going on and, you know, how he feels on certain things. So,
for sure, man.
Yo, did you notice the outside of Resorts World pulling up?
No, sir.
Bro, they're playing like a soccer game
on the roof.
No, on the outside of the hotel, like on the hotel, it's like a
school. Oh, they have like a game,
right?
A televised game.
And I was like, damn! Imagine if they show like a fight on the strip,
or if they just showed us,
that'd be amazing as well. Absolutely,
yeah, right. That'd be better.
So, do you think we ever have a chance of seeing it? I mean, it looks like
I don't know.
Charlo,
that's the question I posed in the title.
It looks like
maybe
Charlo,
we need to pose it as a poll.
It looks like Charlo
busy
is back in January.
Busy,
you know, Bud is fighting in December, so it kind of lines up pretty good.
It does, you know, but in a perfect world, in a WWF sort of world, you know, Bud would show up to Charlo's fight because he's the one that wants to be undisputed at 54. You know, it's not the other way around. But that's a perfect world, and I don't know that we're going to get that. I don't know that we're going to get that, bro. That's what we deserve, you know. We deserve for Crawford to spend some of that $10 million he about to make on his tune-up. Take that. Get a little flight. Go see Jermell. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And solidify this fight for undisputed in a second division since. And let me tell you, the pressure would be on Earl so bad.
Would you be pissed if that happens?
Why would I be pissed? No,
that means
he'd be showing
the Earl fight ain't happen.
Why wouldn't it? Everybody already think Earl better than Charlo, right? Ain't that what y'all think? I mean, yeah, that's certainly what Crawford thinks, so that's the only thing that matters. Crawford believes Earl is better than Charlo. So Crawford believes he could pick off Charlo and still come for Earl.
So you think Earl, who's been saying that he's, you know, that 47 isn't easy to make,
mm-hmm.
that he'll just wait another year,
I mean,
year and a half.
To. He's forced to.
He's forced to wait another year and a half.
If Charlo somehow, which we know it's almost impossible, like, you know, why would Al pass Earl over? But think about it. If Charlo somehow gets, you're tripping. If Charlo somehow gets the Crawford fight,
mm-hmm.
how is the Earl fight?
I'm just
over?
Saying, bro, like, there's only so much your body can do. And if he's if he told us in October that 147 pounds wasn't easy to make, we're just supposed to assume that he's going to wait till December of the following year or springtime of 2 years from now to make that fight happen?
I think that, again, it won't happen because of the alliance and the loyalty to, obviously, Earl. But, yes, if that wasn't a case and Earl, you know, for whatever reason, they can't get it done, yeah, bro, take that Crawford fight versus, you know, Jermell and show. I mean, Canelo does it. He's bouncing around. There's plenty of fighters that bounce up and down. Barrios did it. I mean, Tank does it. Canelo does it. It's like, it's not foreign.
Yeah, but we don't see Canelo bouncing down to 60. He's at, you know, he's at a weight that is pretty comfortable for him.
Yo, he already made a sacrifice of 152. You understand? Every fighter got their own sacrifice and their own lane.
So Earl sacrifices 47, but you want him to wait another year and a half?
It ain't, again, like, there. I don't see a world where that happens because of the alliance with Al and Earl, but it ain't nobody's fault but his own if it does happen.
That's true. Well, I ain't going to say but his own, but I get what you're saying, that basically do what you got to do to make this fight happen.
Yeah, bro, come on. If Tank, yo, we never thought Tank and Ryan get it done, man. Two separate broadcasters. In that instance, you have a network free agent.
Yeah, no.
That's the easiest to deal with.
I felt that the promoters would be the you know, maybe the issue, the roadblock, if you will, in that fight, you know.
In which?
The Tank Ryan, you know.
Exactly.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Promoters and broadcasters,
I'm shocked at what they did, to be honest with you. Like, they're talking, so what's up with DAZN? Like, they don't, it's a Showtime pay-per-view, but you get to purchase it on DAZN as well?
Sounds that way.
So, but I just thought they'd do a fucking joint pay-per-view. Didn't you?
I mean, bro, they
well,
they,
you said you didn't think it happened at all.
I didn't think it happened, and it's just because of that, because, it, you know, I thought DAZN would, as the startup, would want to mandatory do the collab so that they could get bigger. But they rode for the fighter. But we do have our first guest. Let's go ahead and cut to our sponsor, Kenichi Bid. Don't forget to check out Hibernation Fives. There's these beautiful white Bluetooth headsets that Danny about to whip out because, you know, he works now on the third shift, so he got his with him every day. Shout out to the young Carden Chapman, man. We appreciate you, and we look forward to possibly doing a collaboration episode out there in D.C.
Mm.
My peoples is getting with your, actually, your peoples is getting with me. Actually, I already got with your peoples. So then they getting back with you so that we can get together and do something. Yeah. That's how it goes.
We'll
promo.
Be right back.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. We are joined with the champ. It's Hector Luis Garcia. Right here, we got self-proclaimed fighter of the year, self-proclaimed trainer of the year. Let's see if we can't speak and believe and receive it. So you going to be doing the translating or I?
I think we'll help each other out, but I'll do the, you know.
So you start off with that.
Okay. Well,
with all that, everything I just said.
That I'm translating?
Everything I just said in English, bro. Nosotros siempre hacemos esto. Este no le gusta traducir. Y lo que pasa es que el español mío...
No me gusta traducir para los dominicanos solamente porque él es dominicano.
Racista.
Él es dominicano. Entonces tú vas a entender de lo mío, porque en México nosotros no decimos de lo mío.
Supuestamente tú estás supuesto entenderme a mí mejor, pero es que hay palabras que yo me tranco. So, él va a traducir.
Yo voy a
y donde él diga una palabra mexicana, yo te, lo arreglo y te digo, te digo la traducción dominicana.
Right.
So what I was telling Hector, obviously, me and Danny, we go through this a lot. You know, we debate and argue about who should translate. I've already expressed that his Spanish is 10 times better than mine. Obviously, yes, I could speak a better Caribbean dialect, but there's still plenty of words that, you know, I feel like I can't find the either Spanish literal translation or vice versa. That being said, I did tell the champ that I'm happy, you know, he's here. He is saying he's self-proclaimed. That's what I needed Danny to translate. And also Bob Santos is self-proclaimed trainer of the year. So, you know, both have made an amazing case. And obviously, Hector's in an amazing opportunity.
No, pues obviamente están proclamando usted peleador del año, su entrenador, entrenador del año, y los dos han hecho este caso fuerte con eso, proclamando eso, porque obviamente usted ha tenido un año de lo mejor y lo mismo con su entrenador. Ahora, viendo el año no se ha acabado, pero ya estamos enfocados en su próxima pelea en enero. ¿Cómo ve el año? ¿Y usted piensa que sí le den el peleador del año?
Bueno, primero...
Déjelo traduzco en inglés. I went to him, and so I just asked him. Obviously, he has a Fighter of the Year shirt on. His trainer, self-proclaimed Trainer of the Year, and they both made strong cases for it. They've both had phenomenal years, and I told him obviously the year's not over, but as far as fighting is concerned, it is now. The focus is the fight in January, so I just asked him to kind of, you know, look back on his year for me, and does he believe that he'll get the Fighter of the Year, Hector?
Bueno, antes agradecer a Dios por tenerme donde estoy hoy en día. Este año ha sido un año extraordinario para mí, para mi equipo de trabajo, de manera excelente. De verdad me siento moderadamente agradecido.
¿Puede hablar un poco más alto, por favor?
Sí, sí. De verdad me siento...
No tengas miedo.
Extremadamente agradecido con lo que se está haciendo en mi carrera. Gracias a mi equipo de trabajo, a la compañía PBC, a Germán, Luis de Cuba Junior, Vos Santos, mi equipo de trabajo. Estamos haciendo un gran trabajo y este año ha sido extraordinario. El próximo año que viene seguirá por el mismo camino.
Sí, obviamente. Vamos a empezar.
Translate.
Oh, so he was saying... basically first and foremost, he thanks God for where he is. He says it's been an extraordinary year. He says he's very happy with his team, PBC, Al Heyman, Louis DeCubas, obviously his coach and the whole training staff. And he said that this year, you know, it's just been a blessing, but it's in due part to his team, and he's very happy with the way the year has played out, and he's excited for what 2023 is going to bring. Did you have anything off that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this amazing opportunity. He's going to be facing Tank Davis. I just want to know his exact initial reaction when receiving that phone call and then telling him, does he want to fight Tank? And did it go that way? How did it go?
Este, pues obviamente la pelea con Gervonta Davis es una oportunidad de una vez en la vida, ¿verdad? Obvio, él es el peleador ahorita en los Estados Unidos más grande, el único en pay-per-view. Este, ¿cuál fue su reacción cuando le dieron la llamada para la pelea o cómo fue que usted se enteró?
Bueno, esas son las peleas que realmente merezco, porque pelear con grandes peleadores como Gervonta, un peleador libra por libra, ya estamos a un nivel, en una etapa, en un nivel donde tenemos que enfrentar grandes retos, y esos son los peleadores que realmente necesitamos. Y cuando recibí la noticia, me sentí muy bien, más motivación, más ganas, más fe de trabajar y echarle ganas para hacer buen trabajo el 7 de enero.
So he's saying, look, Nessa, it's a fight that I deserve. He's saying Tank is a pound-for-pound fighter, and at the level that we are in my career, we're only supposed to be fighting high-level, top-level guys. So, you know, when I got the call, I was happy, I was motivated, and, you know, just getting ready to go for January 7th.
It was only such a short time ago that, you know, one of my dear friends, Chris Colbert, was trying to shame him about his record and his knockouts. Fast forward, he's had two consecutive big fights, and now he's getting the utmost biggest opportunity. How can he assure us that the weight won't put him at a disadvantage?
Dice, obviamente, no fue hace mucho que un amigo de él, en Chris Colbert, lo trató de avergonzar un poco con su récord, obviamente diciendo, no, pues que pelea puro en la Dominica República, en su país, y obviamente ha tenido usted dos grandes peleas, peleó con Chris Colbert y con Roger, y ahora tiene la pelea Gervonta Davis. What was the question again?
So how can he assure us that it won't be a disadvantage, that weight difference?
¿Cómo nos puede asegurar que el subir de peso no lo va a poner desde ese disadvantage?
Tú ves, porque yo lo hago ahí, porque esa palabra yo no me la sé en español. ¿Cómo se dice eso, Bob? Disadvantage. No, is it that?
Desventaja.
Desventaja.
Oh, ok, perfecto. O sea, ¿cómo el subir de peso no lo va a poner en una desventaja? Porque es un peso que es más natural para él y no para usted.
Tag me in. Boom. Solo, yo no te quería dar tanta información, obviamente, de mucho, pero lo que está pasando es que tú sabes que en el internet están diciendo, oh, no, ahí está Tank otra vez peleando con una persona más chico, subiendo otra persona, en vez de pelear con Devin Haney o Lomachenko,
alguien
en su división.
De peso ligero.
So yo quiero que tú, ni que sea, pueda poner en el mundo tus raciones por qué el peso no va a ser un problema y no va a ser
una desventaja.
Para mí el peso no es ningún problema, porque para mí los dos pesos son iguales. Yo puedo pelear, yo tengo para pelear hasta en 140 libras. Claro que sí. ¿Me entiendes? Entonces, por eso a mí no me preocupa el peso, no me preocupa la 135, porque puedo pelear en los dos pesos, son iguales para mí. Y le voy a seguir demostrando al mundo el por qué estoy aquí y el por qué se me ha dado la oportunidad. No vengo de la nada, soy un peleador de alto rendimiento, yo vengo desde abajo, trascendiendo con éxito, y lo que yo donde estoy hoy en día es porque me lo he ganado.
So before you translate, keep getting it down, and I'm going to just translate my question. So basically, you know, I had just added to what Danny was telling him, and I told him I didn't want to bombard him, but I did want him to have a little bit of information, because obviously the internet is dragging Tank. The internet is saying Tank is cherry picking. The Tank is fighting another small guy. The Tank is bringing up another guy from a division below. So I wanted him to let us know and reassure us why those 5 pounds won't be a disadvantage for him. So Danny
and
knows the answer.
Yeah, he says, look, the weight is the same for me. I can compete 130, 135, all the way up to 140, no question about it. He says,
and to be clear, when he said 140, he said it with some umph in his voice, like, yo, I could do 140, like being very stern on that. So, you know.
And obviously, our current world champion and stablemate, Albert Pueyo, he's at 140. I know they get plenty of work. So as far as the level of work that he's getting, I know that's top level. But he says, you know, I'll continue to show the world why I'm here. You know, I truly come from the bottom, and I will continue to prove that I am top level. So obviously he's saying, look, not just 30, but 35 or 40. I do want to know, con una pelea tan grande, y usted obviamente acaba de ganar el título mundial, ¿no hay un deseo de poder defender el título el 7 de enero?
With a fight that big, and you just finished winning your world title, is there any sort of desire to defend that world title before obviously moving up to another division and taking on Tank?
Yo defendería mi título después del 7 de enero, porque primero tengo este compromiso y tengo que resolverlo.
Entonces, en ningún momento, cuando le ofrecieron la pelea, hablaron de tal vez haciendo la pelea en las 130 libras para tener el título ahí en la línea.
No, no.
He said, he being Hector, said, you know, don't worry about it. I'll defend my title at 130 after I handle this task at hand. So then Danny asked him.
So I doubled back and I was like, was there at any point, was this fight ever offered or talked about for 130 to have your title on the line? And he said no.
So I want to double on to that and just say, does he think it would have been a better for him to defend his 130 versus Tank so that Tank has to come down? And then, you know, for Tank, the caveat, obviously you're going to have to Google that word, but the caveat for Tank would be that he can now be a 5-times champion because he would be winning the 130-pound title, full title back.
Ah, you kind of lost me.
Okay. So la pregunta es, si te gustaría a ti tal vez pelear contra él en la 130 haciendo esa defensa de tu título, y para él sería bueno también porque para él le dan la oportunidad de ser 5 veces campeón porque él tendrá que ganar ese 130 para atrás. So, y para ti tal vez estamos pensando, como no somos peleadores, que esos cinco libras para él será difícil para bajar para la 130.
Sí, pero de verdad sería igual. Para mí sería igual. Sí, claro.
Okay, he kept it short and sweet. He said, the truth is, for me, it would be the same, either 130, 135.
Y obviamente para usted es una oportunidad a ganar un segundo título, ¿verdad?
Exactamente. Eso va a ser histórico porque el sueño es mi sueño, mi carrera. Lo que uno se promete lo cumple. Y yo me comprometí de ser campeón en 135 y en 140.
So, you know, I said, obviously for you, regardless, he says it doesn't matter. And I was like, it's possibly even more enticing at 35 because now he has the opportunity to become a 2-time world champion, you know, in back-to-back fights. That would be amazing. He says, look, you know, absolutely. You know, not just do I want to become a champion at 135, but at 140 as well before it's all said and done.
I got to do this. Just because, to see how he answers it, right? So, obviously, 135, Devin Haney is the super champion. But a win over Tank, like, who the fuck's going to argue? You not a champion because you beat Tank. He's the cash cow of the division. Everybody wants to fight Tank. So, it's like, to him, would he have to fight a Devin to feel like he's a 135-pound champion, or is Tank and the name Tank and what he represents big enough that, you know, it represents he's a true champ at 35.
Dice, obvio, en el peso ligero, Devin Haney es el campeón indiscutible, pero Gervonta Davis sí tiene el título regular. Y no nomás el título, pero es el nombre más grande, es el nombre que está en pay-per-view. En su punto de vista de usted, ganándole a Tank, ¿usted ya se siente como el campeón o tendría que enfrentar a Devin Haney siendo el campeón indiscutible?
Me sentiría ganándole a Devin Haney, perdón, al tanque.
al
tanquecito, sí, porque...
¡Al tanquecito! Yo, so he said...
I don't think he was finished.
Okay, yeah.
Me sentiría campeón. Y me gustaría unificar con David Hain, okay, de una vez, porque hay que ir trascendiendo, hay que pensar en grande.
So he's saying, he's like, no, look, I would absolutely feel like the world champion beating Tank. He has the regular title. But beating Tank.
He said, I would absolutely feel like the champion beating the Tank.
Yeah, the Tank. And then he
and
said.
And then he said, well, little Tank.
Yeah, little Tank, tanquecito. But he
it
said,
doesn't mean, it's not derogatory or disrespectful for us. Like I'm a Nestito because my father's is Nesta. So I'm just, you know, so they know. Like, Ito just means the junior.
Damn, so he calling him his junior. So,
No,
I don't even remember you because you cut in. So finish translating what he said because I got lost.
Yeah, ask him. ¿Qué fue lo que tú dijiste? ¿Se lo olvidó?
Lo último.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, he said he's like, look, I absolutely feel like the champion, but while I'm there, of course, I'd like that unification undisputed fight with Devin Haney.
Yeah, tell him.
Oh, and then he also said, I'm in the sport, you know, to basically evolve and grow in the sport. So I want the big fights.
Jesus, it was 2022, bro.
What?
So that was all this year. Ask him, what was life like February 26, 2021? Where was he at, and how did he feel?
So,
Febrero 26, 2021, o sea, no este año, no toda esta fama, no toda esta pelea. ¿Dónde tú estabas el febrero, el año pasado, y cómo tú te sentías? ¿Cuáles eran tus pensamientos y cuáles de esos pensamientos han, how you say, manifested or come true?
Han
fluido.
Sí, han llegado a realidad.
Pero este mismo año, el principio...
No.
2021.
Del año pasado. Obviamente tuvo la pelea con Chris Colbert en febrero de este año y desde entonces, su fama, su nombre ha crecido mucho. Él quiere saber, estaba un año anterior de eso.
Ok. Un año anterior de eso yo estaba acá.
¿Aquí?
Sí.
¿En La Vega?
Sí.
Ok.
Y de hecho hice una publicación en noviembre de ese mismo año, diciendo que quería, solamente estaba esperando la oportunidad, que se me diera la oportunidad para entrar, que para salir iba a ser un problema.
Mm.
Y se ha concedido así porque este año entró, perdón, en diciembre entramos, de ese mismo año, después de que yo hice la publicación, entramos en diciembre. Se me dio la oportunidad, gané mi pelea y este año entramos con el mismo objetivo y entramos con el pie derecho.
So he's saying, he's like, look, that time last year I was here in Vegas, and you know, I was just doing my job. I was in the gym working, putting the work in with my trainer. And actually, in November of that year, I made a post basically saying that I'm just looking for the opportunity to get in the ring. And we got in the ring December of last year, came out with the victory, and then obviously came into this year with the right foot forward, he says.
Ask him what happened to that fight. It looks like it could have been in COVID in Tampa.
Dice que fue lo que pasó. No, it wasn't.
Sundome in
Tampa.
Oh,
yeah, I see it, but that wasn't COVID.
Nah, 2018.
No, absolutely not. Mm. La pelea, su primera pelea en los Estados Unidos, ¿qué fue lo que pasó ahí?
Porque
en el 2019.
Had a no contest on it.
No contest, la pararon en el primer round. ¿Qué fue lo que pasó? Fue en Tampa.
Sí, esa pelea fue no contest porque mi rival sufrió un accidente con mi rodilla y en el segundo round, y referee detuvo la pelea y la anuló.
Oh, he's saying, yeah, it was a no contest because the opponent injured his knee in the fight, and obviously the referee had to stop it, so that's why it was no contest.
Would this be his first time in D.C., and if so, or if not, what time of year did he go in the past?
Va a ser su primera vez en la capital.
Sí, sí.
He says his first time. Bien frío va a estar, ¿eh?
¿Compraste coat ya?
Sí, claro. Tenemos todo.
All right, now I asked him, did he buy a coat already? He said, yeah, of course, we got everything.
You need it over here, man.
Yeah. So, Bob, where are you planning to take him to get acclimated to that cold? Are you guys leaving Vegas early or no? Because it's pretty cold here in the mornings anyway.
No, we're going to stay here. We're not going to change anything. We'll head out there the week before the fight. Nothing's going to change.
Week before meaning Monday, fight Saturday?
Yeah, probably the week before the fight. We ain't going to change anything. Nothing different than we did for his last fight in Miami. Keep everything the same.
So the 4 hours... You don't think bother?
No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. He'll be right back acclimated right away, Dominican time, island time.
Hector, ¿cuál es tu pensamiento sobre las cuatro horas, la diferencia? Porque obviamente...
3 horas.
Oh, daylight savings?
Ahora mismo 4.
Oh, ¿sí? Este tipo.
¿Cuatro de qué?
Dominicana.
De Dominicana, pero it's not East Coast.
That's where he's from.
He's got to get acclimated to where he's going. It's where he's from. He's used to what he's from. Why are you mad?
No, I'm used. Bro, I'm from Chicago. You think I'm used to Central Time? You're from the East. Or do you run off Eastern Time? No.
I run off Eastern.
No, your body run like you're used to whatever you got going wherever you live.
Exactly, Eastern.
So you live in the East Coast.
I used to.
But where do you live now?
I had to get acclimated. That is the question. Eso es lo que le estoy explicando, que yo antes vivía en Nueva Jersey. Entonces, sí, mi cuerpo estaba a ese reloj. Sí. Tú sabes, para mí la suerte fue que ya yo me estaba levantando temprano allá. So, aquí resultó bien y puedo hacer mi programa a las 6 de la mañana aquí.
Pero
porque mi cuerpo está en puesto.
¿Qué tanto se toma el cuerpo a acostumbrarse al tiempo? Estamos hablando cosas de...
Ni que sea un día o dos, y esa es mi pregunta. ¿Tú crees que tú vas a necesitar un día o dos por el tiempo, las 4 horas de diferencia? Este hombre siempre le gusta discutir.
No, pero tú sigues diciendo 4 horas de diferencia.
¡Él está en la Dominicana!
Bro, pero... Él vive, está viviendo, entrenando aquí.
Yes.
Sir. Okay, entonces su cuerpo.
He just got here, though.
Pero su cuerpo está.
How long he been about?
He's been here a while.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Su cuerpo.
All right.
We'll be good.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yo lo que le explico a él, no que esté discutiendo. Yo lo que le estoy explicando a él, que tu cuerpo está acostumbrado a donde tú estás viviendo en el momento. Entonces, si tú ya dices, wow, que ya tiene aquí rato, ¿cuánto tiene aquí?
Bueno, tengo rato, específicamente no sé qué tiempo, pero tengo rato. Pero siempre que vengo, que regreso, no me adapto pronto al horario porque pienso mucho. Para dormir un problema, porque yo soy un atleta que tengo vergüenza deportiva y cuando yo vengo con un objetivo, evalúo mucho, pienso mucho. Ya ahora mismo estoy durmiendo mejor porque ya al principio era haciendo bulla y cicatilla con la mente respecto a mi pelea. Uh-huh. Porque yo no se lo dejo todo a mi equipo de trabajo. Yo también tengo que hacer mi parte. Porque soy yo que voy a subir arriba a resolver mi problema.
So tú ves cinta, tú ves las peleas de tu oponentes.
Sí, la veo. Pero no la veo continuamente.
Uh-huh.
La veo 2 o 3 veces y ya no la veo más.
¿La misma pelea o busca el rival que más se compare a ti?
No, veo la pelea 1 o 2 veces de mi rival, pero veo más peleadores.
Uh-huh.
¿Entiendes? Para yo entonces captar alguna cosa de más peleadores y con eso ya voy combinando en los entrenamientos para hacerlo en la pelea bien.
So he says, he's like, you know, I have been here a while, but
I do need a couple of days to get acclimated
so he's translating for the rest of the fucking interview.
No le gustó que tú contestaste así. So basically he said he does need a couple of days to get acclimated, especially because it is fight week. His mind's racing.
That's not what
he's overthinking it on his fight.
He said that he, even though he's been here for a while, when he come back from the DR, he usually does need a couple of days because he's an overthinker. He's not somebody that puts, so not fight week. He said coming from the DR, right? That's the 4-hour time difference you're speaking of.
Okay.
So he says that he's an overthinker. He's not one to put everything on his team. So because of that, he would take then, you know, a couple of days. But he says now it's way easier because now he's focused. He knows his task at hand. settled into the fight, and you came in to ask, you know, if he watches tape on
which he said he does, but he doesn't focus solely on tape. And
it's only a few times.
He said he only watched once or twice, but he also watches other fighters. So that's my follow-up. What are the other fighters? So, ¿cuáles son los otros peleadores que tú... Porque tú dices que tú no te enfocas solamente en tu oponente y a veces te pones a ver diferentes peleadores.
Sí, sí, me pongo a ver diferentes peleadores, pero eso te lo voy a dejar de tarea para que no... ¿Me entiendes? Pero son buenos peleadores.
Ok.
Buenos peleadores que me inspiran, que me motivan y agarro alguna cosa de ellos para combinarla para mi pelea.
Hmm. So, what was that word he used in there? Because he definitely used the word I ain't never heard of.
It sounds like...
Oh, my God.
What do you want me to do, bro?
It sounds like, what do you want me to do?
It sounds like he said, I'm going to leave that up to the imagination because, obviously, he can't give away the game plan.
Mm,
right?
Okay.
Así fue, ¿o no? ¿Lo traducí bien? No,
que...
no.
Cuando dijo de la mente, o sea, que lo va...
Él está buscando una palabra específica que tú dijiste para tratar de traducirla.
Porque entendí todo, que no nos va a decir...
O sea, me voy a reservar los nombres.
Reservar.
Okay, perfecto.
Okay. Reservar. All right, so he said reserve.
Right, so basically he's saying that there is other fighters that he watched, but he won't really tell us who because, you know, he's being reserved. But on top of that, kind of... he did say, and they kind of leave it up to us to figure out who we would think. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely.
Power-wise, does he feel, obviously, that was the hype in the fight with him and Colbert, right? Colbert saying his power can't be real because he didn't fight anybody. Him fighting to prove it was real. He didn't stop Colbert. He didn't stop Gutierrez. But does he feel he has... you know, some power to shock Tank, not just get his respect, and is it enough to knock him out?
Sin darnos, obviamente, el plan de la pelea, pero entrando a la pelea con Chris Colbert, él habló mucho que de su poder y que no tenía, que solo estaba peleando en la República Dominicana, y obviamente no lo noqueó, pero sí lo tumbó en la pelea. ¿Usted cree, subiendo de peso, que va a poder, porque obviamente no se va a matar tanto en hacer en las 130 libras, que si va a tener más para dar de poder en la pelea?
Sí, sí, claro. Saber que cuando uno cede de peso, se siente más fuerte. Eso es lógico. Y Colbert, él había dicho eso, me había subestimado. Pero yo sabía que los peleadores que yo había noqueado, esos 10 peleadores que yo le había ganado por nocaut, le daban problema a él, porque eran rivales buenos, aceptables para mí.
So, he says, he's like, look, obviously, you know, when you are making weight, you're sucked in, it's hard on the body, that's 5 extra pounds that I won't have to cut. I'll, you know, naturally just feel stronger and healthier in the fight. You know, what Chris said, he underestimated me. You know, simply put, he underestimated me, and it showed, and obviously I came in to do what I had to do, and I won the fight. Obviamente no es la 130, entonces está comiendo más, como es la dieta, hay mucho cambio en eso, o la cosa un poco igual, y nomás va a ser la semana de la pelea, que no va a tener que perder tanto peso. So I asked regarding the diet, what's that like? Is he eating more? Or is it really the same in just fight week? He won't have to cut that weight.
Bueno, mira, esto es un plan de mano de Bo Santo, que mi preparador, él me trabaja igual. Me está trabajando igual. Porque el peso no lo hacemos es un día antes de la pelea.
So he's like, look, you know, I put everything in the hands of my trainer, Bob Santos, but we're doing everything the same. Nothing's changed because at the end of the day, I'm cutting that weight, making the weight the night before the weigh-in. So he's like, you know, everything is still the same, but everything's in the hands of Bob Santos.
Ask him, is he making good use of his stablemate? Is he picking his brain after camp? And by camp, I mean the gym time, not the camp.
Right.
Like the day.
And you're referring to Pollo specifically and just the entire stable.
Negative. Ooh. Dropping the ball over at Barrios. Face tank.
Okay.
He's in here. He's there. He's got, like, is he staying up at night fucking picking his brain?
I mean, different style. That's why I thought, you know.
Bro,
dice que si usted está usando la oportunidad de tener a Mario Barrios, que ha enfrentado a Javonte Davis, ahí obviamente en el campamento, después del gimnasio, que sí han hablado, eso, que sí, le ha ayudado dando, no sé, tal vez su opinión, su pensamiento, cómo es que le pueda ganar.
Bueno, sí, estamos trabajando en conjunto. Él no se ha prestado para decirme cómo, qué, esto, pero sí me ha hablado positivo. Me dice que tú le puedes ganar al tanquecito este. Es un problema, pero tú le puedes ganar. Tú tienes todo para ganarle a él.
He's like, look, I won't say that he's opened up and gave me, you know, the secret formula or told me, you know, what it is that I need to do, but he's absolutely, as a stable mate, worked with me and talked to me, basically assuring me that I can absolutely beat the tank and that I have more than necessary to beat him.
So he's not going to ask him.
Entonces usted no le va a preguntar tal vez sobre alguna cosa a Mario.
No.
Porque is it because he doesn't want to again find himself in his head?
O dice que porque que si es porque usted cree que va a estar usted mucho en su mente pensando sobre lo que dice o cuál es la razón.
No, porque eso sale de él, eso tiene que salirle de él. Él ya me dijo lo que tenía que decirme, entiendo. Me gusta. Lo que me diga está bien, tanto como él como otra persona.
He's like, look, that's something that has to come from him. To me, I feel like he's already told me what he's told me, and whatever he chooses to tell me as far as the fight, that's something that has to come just naturally and organic from him.
Bob, does that make me an overanalyzer? Like, I feel like I would be watching tape. If Barrios is my stablemate, I'm like, bro, how hard he hit? What should I look out for? Like, should I smother him? What did you know, how was it on the inside? Like, I don't know. Am I overanalyzing? Shouldn't fighters want to know that shit?
Well, every fighter's different. With Hector, you know, he's the type of fighter that has the utmost confidence in himself. And so he's not going to be a guy that's going to overanalyze. You ain't going to see him going over to the gym. Hey, how hard does he hit? Now, there's other fighters that worry about every little thing. He's not one of them. Like I said, I've seen him in with everybody. Devin Haney, Rolly, you name it. He's been in with everybody. And he's got the utmost confidence in himself that he's going to be victorious. You know, styles make fights. I think he has a chip on his shoulder coming into this fight. You know, everybody's talking Ryan Garcia. And I have the utmost respect for Ryan Garcia and his talent. And I think with Joe Goosen, he's only going to get better. But that being said, you have here an Olympian. The other guy's never done that. You have here a guy who's won an eliminator. The other guy's never done that. You have here a world champion. The other guy's never done that. You have here a guy who has a Chris Colbert on his resume. People forget Chris Colbert only lost four rounds. Everybody's banging on Chris Colbert. Oh, he's not that good. No, he fought a great fighter in this guy, and styles make fights. You know, so that being said, I attribute this fight going forward. I used to work with Sugar Shane Mosley. I was in a lot of camps up there with him and Big Bear when he was pound for pound best fighter in the world, as I think Tank is right now. I think Tank pound for pound is one of the best fighters in the world. And
Bob, what four rounds Chris won?
No, I said Chris Colbert, up until that point in his career, only lost four rounds in his career.
Oh, you're saying total.
Yeah, so you think about a guy, his entire career has only lost four rounds. He loses to Hector Luis Garcia, and everybody's like, oh, you know, hey, give this man his props and his credit.
No, absolutely. No, 1,000%. I misheard you. I thought you said he only lost four rounds in the fight. I'm like, nah, he lost. You know, I felt that you guys tend to.
Let me jump it. ¿Tú entendiste nada? Hay que traducirte.
Bueno, yo entendí que Colbert había perdido solamente cuatro rounds en su carrera profesional.
Así es.
Sí.
You know, you and people, you know, they're you know, oh, Chris Colbert, you know, that's the bad thing about boxing sometimes, you know. It's one fight. That doesn't define a career to me, you know, and boxing is a lot to me like professional baseball. You hear about a guy, you know, oh, he had two losses in his career. Well, at that time, he was probably in double A, single A, or triple A. What are you doing at the major league level? This guy's produced at the major league level. He's undefeated at the major league level. And like I said, up until this point, as far as production goes, this man has done much more than Ryan Garcia has ever done inside the ring.
Let's say you're right. I don't want to argue that, but it's Tank. He's different.
Of course, and that's why, and that's what you want
Deontay
to challenge.
Wilder power.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, like I said, I've been in camps with James Toney. I've been in camps with them all, okay? And that being said, you know, I remember, you know, Shane Mosley. I was in the camp with him, with Jose Celaya up there in Big Bear, and at that time, it's Shane Mosley. He's the fastest guy. He's a puncher. He's a boxer. He can do everything. And guess what? He fought Vernon Forrest, and he didn't come out victorious. That's why you make the fights. And that being said, you know, styles make fights. To me, this is going to be an all-time classic. And we're very confident that we're going to come out victorious in this fight. It is not going to be easy hoeing. I can tell you that right now.
So, Hector, en guanteo, ¿tú has tocado el, how you say, cuadrilátero?
Sí, sí, la lona.
La lona.
No, no. Gracias a Dios.
¿Y como profesional?
Sí, tuve una caída cuando la compañía me dio la oportunidad, PBC, en diciembre, tuve una caída en el primer round, algo sorprendente.
So Ness asked, has he ever tasted the canvas in training? Or, no, you said in sparring, right? And he says no. And as a professional, the only time was
December 18th, 2021.
Which is crazy, it's not on BoxRec.
No, it don't say it, no.
Usted sabe que la BoxRec no enseña que usted tocó la lona. No, ahí no dice. Pero cuando usted noqueó tumbó a Cover, ahí sí dice que usted tumbó a Cover en el séptimo. Pero para su pelea anterior, cuando usted dice la primera con PBC, fue, ¿verdad?
Sí, sí.
Sí, ahí no dice que tocó la lona.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to the armory.
Tal vez, por eso, fue en Minnesota, por eso.
Sí, sí.
Yo. So, obviously, I was telling Bob about the power and the tank different. I want to get his opinion because Rolly fought a completely different fight. I'll translate this, don't worry. Rolly fought a completely different fight from what we were used to. We were expecting Rolly to be... And he went in there, and he was more careful, and Tank was extra careful. He didn't fight the way we normally see him. So I don't know. What does he expect? So quería preguntarte, obviamente, Rolly no demostró sobre su carrera que él era un tipo de persona que hace la pelea. Pero cuando peleó con Tank, obviamente, él estaba más, how you say, cautious? Cuidoso,
más
cuidoso,
reservado.
Más reservado,
más cuidoso, cogiéndolo tranquilo. Sí, él estaba yendo para adelante, pero he wasn't reckless. You know what I mean? Y Tank, él tampoco no peleó como él.
Well, Ness, he did get reckless for 1 second in that fight when he got caught. He jumped in with two right outs.
He thought he had him on the ropes. You know, he thought he had him on the ropes.
He got a little reckless.
Y lo que está diciendo que Rolly... No, Nelson dijo que no fue, no tuvo imprudencia en la pelea y dice su entrenador bastante, si la tuvo en ese segundo que fue noqueado, tuvo la imprudencia donde no se cuidó y ahí fue donde...
Sí, pero mi defensa para eso fue que ya él encontró a Tank sobre la
cuerda, la esquina.
Exacto. So él pensó, ahora es mi oportunidad. Y cuando brincó, obviamente lo noquearon, pero Tank tampoco peleó como él pelea. So quería preguntarte en todo eso, ¿qué tú esperas de él? Porque él no ha demostrado diferentes miradas.
Ok, bueno, yo espero igual, lo mismo, porque él es un boxeador que cuando quiere va adelante, cuando quiere va hacia atrás, corridizo, y yo estaré listo para cualquier situación.
Yo no pienso que so he was saying basically he expects the same that he expects Tank. So he's basically saying Tank does what he wants and that he come forward when he wants, he'll work off the back foot when he wants. So, you know, I'm kind of anticipating the same Tank that we've seen thus far. My rebuttal to that was, yo lo que quiero decir, yo no pienso que Tank es un peleador que va adelante cuando él quiere. Yo pienso que lo hace cuando te tiene lastimado. No cree. Yo en mi opinión, I don't think he works on the front foot unless he has you hurt or he thinks he's already tasted what you got and he's like, this ain't shit.
Mm-hmm. Hay muchas cosas que se trabajan psicológicamente en el boxeo. ¿Entiendes? Cuando para la pelea de Tanque versus Rolly, yo en una ocasión ayudé a Rolly, hice un sparring con él, y le dije tiene que pelear inteligente, tú no puedes pelear como tú estás peleando esta pelea anterior que tú has tenido, que tú vienes como a darle un trompón al peleador y todos los peleadores no son muy iguales, tienes que tener mucho cuidado.
¿Y cómo fue esa ocasión de sparring con Rolly?
Fue buen sparring. De hecho, por esa misma razón te estoy diciendo que me acerqué y le hablé, porque yo también, como hago sparring con peleadores, si veo algo, se lo digo, no importa. ¿Me entiendes? Porque me gusta ayudar.
So Hector was saying, he's like, look, a lot of times it's a psychological games in the sport, but he's like, as a matter of fact, I sparred Rolly one time in preparation to help him get ready for that Tank fight. And I remember telling him after sparring, like, you can't fight the way you just fought your last fight. You have to realize that not everybody's going to go out from one of your punches, and you have to be careful in there. So he's like, look, anytime I get work with somebody, if there's something I see, I'm definitely going to acknowledge it and definitely going to bring it up.
Yeah, but with all due respect to Rolly, you know, if you think about what he's accomplished with his amateur background, this is going to be a completely different animal when Hector fights Tank. We're talking about a guy here who has 400 amateur fights. It's going to be a completely different animal than Rolly, who had maybe 20 amateur fights. So, you know, that being said, this guy has seen everything under the sun. Obviously, we respect Tank. And I think he's a pound-for-pound fighter. I think he can fight on all levels. You know, he could fight long, mid-range, inside, and I've seen him up and close and personal many times. Obviously, I've seen him spar with a couple kids that I have. Obviously, I've seen him, you know, fight with Mario Barrios. But again, this is Hector Garcia. Just as he's a different animal, this guy's a different animal too. And styles make fights. And I can tell you, this fight's going to be an all-time great. It isn't going to be what everybody thinks it's going to be.
Bob, how many times is this going to be you facing Tank? And I got to ask respectfully, because you've been with so many people, I might not know whose corner you were in.
This will be the second time that I'm going up against Tank. But I've had fighters of mine that have helped. I had two of my kids help him get ready for the Santa Cruz fight. And again, I have the utmost respect for his coach. And
Which of your fighters helped him for Santa Cruz?
Barrientos twins.
Okay.
And I also had Omar Juarez spar him too.
So you've seen him intimately in and out.
I've seen him up
fight night and in the gym.
I've seen him up close and personal. And that's why I do think, yes, he is a pound for pound fighter, but again, styles make fights. And, you know, so I feel the utmost confidence.
So Bob, a lot of people like to say that Tank's a 6-round fighter in the gym. Like, normally he'll do 6 rounds, put hands on your fighter, and then get out.
That's not true. People that are saying that I don't know if it's to sell themselves or haterade. I've watched him in there with Walter Waits, and I've watched him in there stopping Walter Waits and top guys. So he's been in there with Luis Arias that I know very well, who's a junior middleweight.
Yeah, but they're not saying he doesn't get in. He gets in with all the names.
Oh, no. Let me tell you something. I've seen.
They're saying he's doing six, though. He might not.
That is not true. From my perspective, that I've been in that gym, in the Mayweather gym, when I was in there, we're talking 12 rounds, two or three different guys, and I seen him, stop a Walter Waite, and I believe it was the 11th or 12th round of sparring. So that's just completely, it's not true. So, again, we know what we're going up against. The people that are saying that's hearsay. I've seen it up close and personal. Pound for pound, he's one of the best fighters. I've been in this game 41 years, 31 years in the pros. I've worked with a lot of world champions. And the guy can do it all. I'm going to give him his just due. But I feel confident in this man right here that we're going to be victorious January 7th. It is not going to be easy hoeing. And I think styles make fights, and I think this is going to be a much more tougher fight than if and when or he was to fight Ryan Garcia. This is a tougher fight up until this point.
So Bob, obviously, I ain't going to say he got famous, but he has a line that is pretty – synonymous with boxing. He says, you know, yesterday I was lying, today I'm telling the truth. You had Barrios. I'm pretty sure in the press conferences and the build-up, you said Barrios was going to win. So
you know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. If you look in that fight,
I'm just saying, I'm just asking. No. Difference,
obviously, you have confidence in your fighter. You're going into every fight believing that you're going to win, or I don't want to work with you. If I don't believe we can win, I'm not going to work with you. That being said, I wasn't the head trainer for Barrios at the time. I had trained him all the way, got him to number one in the world. We made a coaching change. I was still his manager. I helped out with the camp. I was confident in the kid. That being said, if you look in the 11th round, it's Floyd Mayweather that goes up to Gervonta and says, you need a knockout. You're losing the fight. So we were within a round in a minute. We were within 4 minutes with Floyd Mayweather in his mind. 4 minutes away from winning the fight. The thing is, this is boxing. He has the ultimate equalizer, right? So he has that punch, and he was able to take Barrios out, you know? So that can happen to anybody at any time. But if you look up into that fight, up until that 10th, 11th round, many people ringside had us winning, and his own promoter had us winning. So that being said, but I can tell you this, this guy is a completely different fighter than Barrios. That said, with Barrios, he's tremendous to get to where he's got to in his career. He's not an Olympian. He didn't have 400 amateur fights. He had nowhere near the experience of this guy. Completely different.
What's the amateur record? Because, like, it is far and few between the fighters that reach that amount of amateur.
I mean, this guy's done everything. Pan Am Games, he's fought everywhere. But, he's fought the Russians. He's done it all in his pro career.
¿Cuál fue tu récord, Mateo?
Específicamente no, actualmente no recuerdo, pero aproximadamente 300 peleas.
¿Y como aproximadamente cuántas ganadas?
La mayoría.
I like that.
And you got to remember, international fights versus regular fights in the island. So as far as, like I said, amateur background, pedigree, you can't really compare either Ryan Garcia or Mario Barrios compared to what this guy's done. So he comes from that amateur pedigree like I have with Mario.
Compare him to Leo.
Leo Santa Cruz?
Four-time champ.
Again, Leo Santa Cruz is nowhere near the amateur pedigree this guy is either, but you can't take nothing away from him, what he's done in his professional career, but he's had the opportunity and he's produced and he is where he is. Now this guy's just starting to get the opportunity with Chris Colbert, victorious, with Roger Gutierrez, victorious. And now that leads us into the Gervonta Davis fight to me, who, like I said, pound for pound is one of the best fighters in the world. And to me, this is not only a great opportunity, this is a very, very winnable fight for us.
Bob, walk me through you getting the call, because I mean, for you, it can't mean as much, and I'm not trying to diminish that, because yes, it might mean the world to you for your fighter to get his big opportunity, but I mean, from your perspective, like, you know, you've had hella fighters. You had Robert Guerrero in the Floyd fight. Like, you've been on this level, if not higher. So how was it for you to get the call that they wanted Hector in this fight with Tank?
You know, I was super thrilled, like you said, for him. You know, I've been on this stage. I've had Lara fight Canelo. I've had Guerrero fight Mayweather. I've been on this stage. But that said, I was so excited for him. If anybody knows his story, what he went through, and I think a lot of people lose sight of that fact.
What did he go through?
Well, the fact that when you come over here with nothing, right, no opportunity, and you think about he forced his way onto the scene. You had 19 days to get ready for Chris Colbert. I put that in perspective. I think a lot of people lose sight of that. You had 19 days to get ready for Chris Colbert to make weight, right? Now, you got a guy like Shakur, no disrespect, but you had 10 weeks to get ready to make weight for your fight. So it's a little different from when you're coming from a foreign country, and the people lose sight of the fact of this, too. When he came here to fight Colbert, you're coming into a foreign country. People forget about that. They just think, oh, United States, this and that. No, these guys are coming into a foreign environment, a foreign country, where their back's against the wall. You know what I mean? It's not like the networks are behind them. It's not like the promotional companies behind them. It's not like the country's behind them. You got 19 days to get ready. Think about what he accomplished. If you think about as great as Gervonta is, with 19 days to get ready, does he beat Chris Colbert 10 out of 12 rounds? I don't know. Maybe he knocks him out. But it ain't that easy to be prepared in 19 days. And I think people lose sight of that. And that's why, to me, he's fighter of the year, too. When you think about it, he's a 50-1 underdog. When you talk about Bivol, no disrespect to him and beating Canelo. But to me, Canelo did a tremendous job at super middleweight. But he's a smaller guy that's not a totally accomplished guy at light heavyweight. So to me, if we took like a Bivol and
he's
we said
– former world champion at light heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah. But you're talking about Kovalev, who's a little long in the tooth.
I mean – oh. But you're saying so the interim title that Chris had was
no. What I'm saying is fighting in weight classes are weight classes for a reason.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all things being equal, he's the exact same weight class as a Chris Colbert or a Gutierrez. With Canelo, you're talking about a guy who started at 140 pounds. Okay. Now you're talking about a guy who what he's accomplished at 68 is unbelievable. And beating Kovalev one time at 75, yeah, that's fantastic. But you're talking about Bivol, who's in his absolute prime. So, for instance, if Bivol goes right now and he unified all the titles at 175 and Usyk was still there at cruiserweight, would we be going, oh, my God, I can't believe, Bivol lost to Usyk? So, to me, you know, that there's a reason he was a 50-1 underdog. There's a reason that Bivol was a 7-1 underdog.
50-1 versus who?
Chris Colbert. That's right. Look it up. Caesar's Palace. He's a 50-1 underdog, and by almost all betting lines, and I'll send it to you.
Wow.
He was 20-something-1 underdog.
How much you sprinkle?
He was about to bet, but I said, oh, I never bet on my fighters. But that being said,
So,
but,
él no te dejó votar.
Sí, es cierto. Cierto.
Y tú no buscaste manera de votar.
Yo tenía, para que tú veas la confianza que yo tenía en mí. Porque yo siempre he creído en mí. Yo trabajo para eso. Yo tengo mucha vergüenza deportiva y a mí no me gusta perder. Y como me dio tanta cosa, imprudencia, pero inteligente, al escuchar cómo él se sentía, ¿me entiendes? Tan, pues, tan confiado, que me iba a noquear, que me iba a ganar y eso. Yo le dije a Bo, lo único $200 que tenía en la cartera, que él mismo me lo dio, eso fue para comer. Y como él, yo no lo iba a gastar porque él me da la comida, él me da todo. Él se preocupa por eso. Eso le toca. Él dice, no te preocupes por eso. Guarda eso. Y yo le dije, vos, juégueme esos $200 a mí, mi pelea contra, versus Colby.
Mm.
Y él me dijo, no. Tú trabajaste para ganártelo limpio. No, eso no es bueno de jugar dinero porque él es
religioso,
pero yo no pensé que él iba a reaccionar así, entonces yo me quedé frisado.
Mm-hmm.
Y yo, wow. En fin, porque ya se me fue el hambre de aportar los 200, porque encontré mis $200 y ya, pero sabe que llegó Puello, Santillán, los compañeros míos estaban ahí y mi hermano Orioli, que yo pensé después, Después de ellos, pues yo debí de darle esos 200 pesos a uno de ellos. A uno de ellos para que lo jueguen. Eran $2,000.
Yeah. So basically he was telling us that, yes, it's true. Bob stopped him from betting. And the reason was because, you know, the last 200 that was in his wallet, he had took them out. He had told Bob, like, yo, go put this money on me. And Bob's like, nah, don't do that. You know, you're going to win in the ring because you're a hard worker. You don't want to win by gambling. And he says he thinks Bob did that because Bob is religious. So, yeah, man, he said that later a couple of the Dominican fighters came to the gym and he was like, damn, I should have just gave the 200
to one of them to place the bet.
It would have been 2 G's.
And somebody did send us
the screenshot,
the odds for their fight. They have it at 40-1, but nonetheless.
I'll send you the one from Caesars, 50-1. But that being
40 is good enough, though.
But that being said, like I said, so when you think about Bivol, what was the odds for him versus Canelo? It wasn't no 40-1.
Nah, definitely not.
And so that being said, that's why to me, this man right here sitting next to me is Fighter of the Year for what he accomplished and what he had to go through, 19 days to get ready. But the reason I don't want him to bet, yes, I am a big believer in Christ. But secondly, you don't see all these casinos out here in the middle of the desert because the house doesn't win. So that's what, you know.
Yeah, but that don't make sense, Bob. House ain't win. He's the house. Yeah, so he's telling you. He's like, bro, I'm betting on me.
Okay,
nah, but I hear you.
That's the Christianity in me.
Okay. That's why I interrupted. Absolutely. That's why I interrupted. I'm like, oh, he's religious. I knew it because that's how my uncle and my mom are. They, you know, they won't bet on anything or gamble at all.
Man,
but,
I feel like we gamble with our life every day, Bob.
Yeah.
What's the couple dollars in the sports? Dice que no, o sea, él piensa que por la religión, tal vez por eso que no apueste y obviamente no arriesgar nada. Yo le digo, nosotros arriesgamos nuestra vida todos los días, que es uno cuánto dólar. Mira, esos $200 te hubiera ganado $10,000.
Sí. Pero mira, ¿sabe?
¿10,000? 50-1, 200 would have won him 10,000.
Pero, ¿sabe algo? Nosotros a veces necesitamos eso, pues él a veces nos invita a la iglesia. Y necesitamos eso porque nosotros solamente de el entrenamiento, la casa, a veces nos lleva un fin de semana al mall a comprar algo y cosas. Y uno, cuando ya lleva un proceso en el entrenamiento, ya el instinto de uno es de pelea. Uno, el instinto del boxeador es de criminal, de asesino, como que, ¿me entiendes? Y eso me enseñó también de que, porque él me dijo, tienes que ganártelo de la mejor forma correcta, no, tú trabajas duro, te sacrificas, pues, no apuestes tu dinero, gánatelo de la mejor forma correcta, y eso también me desmayó un poco esa parte.
So no, yo te entiendo.
So, no, he was just saying how, you know, how Bob has, you know, he'll invite them to church or whatnot, and they'll go out on the weekends. He's like, look, but at this point, when you're in camp, you're locked in. You got that criminal mentality. You ready to kill, figuratively. And, you know, I'm just not even focused on that. And Bob has told me, you know, he's like, look, you work so hard to earn your money. Why, you know, risk it gambling? He's like, it's not worth it. So, you know, I've took his advice on that.
Yeah, man. I feel the opposite, man. So the opposite. Yo me siento diferente a eso, a opinión, obviamente porque tengo 11 años en este deporte. 11 años viendo peleadores. 11 años yendo de gimnasio. 11 años grabando. Yo tengo que aprender.
¿En qué peso tú peleas? Ahí voy.
No, yo no peleo. Ah. Yo nada más veo a ustedes. Pero sí, no, en verdad cogí 4 peleas, pero no son profesionales.
Sí.
Pero pienso que aprendí tanto, ¿cómo no voy a apostar? Yo sé quién va a ganar. Ok, no va a ganar
de mucho.
De 10, tal vez no toco 10, no gano 10, pero yo sé que voy a tocar más del 50%, siempre. Porque que yo sé de deporte y estoy en los gimnasios, yo estoy viendo quién está haciendo y quién no está haciendo. Yo estoy viendo quién quiere que lo grabe y quién está escondiéndose atrás de la bolsa pesada, tú sabes. So, I mean, y yo digo eso porque tú sabes también tu cuerpo, tu animación, is it?
What?
Me conozco muy bien.
Sí, tú mismo obviamente te va a conocer mejor que nadie, ¿verdad? But
so, I was just telling him, you know, I feel the opposite of that because obviously, you know, I've been in this sport for so long that I feel like I've learned certain things and, you know, I'm in those gyms. So
easy money.
Easy money. I feel like out of 10, we definitely batting over 50%, you know, without a problem.
Ain't nobody in the majors hitting over 500. So.
Yeah, I just literally got a message like, damn, y'all ain't put y'all betting slip. I've been making money with y'all every week. And it's like, had I put the betting slip, they'd have made money again. I told motherfuckers Stephen Shaw was not knocking out Rydell Booker. They argued. They told me how Rydell was done, how he's over 40, how he got 10 years in the feds, and he ain't get knocked out. Plus 135. Some people could have got it at plus 185. So,
Ness,
yeah, no, I know.
Don't mess with Ness.
Nah, not yet, but I want to get better. I want to get better. I'm going to the camp, though, because we need that upset win.
Ooh, let's get it.
¿Cómo lo hace? Ha ganado, obviamente.
Ah, claro, claro que sí.
¿Pero cómo?
Oh, de la mejor forma.
¿Cuál es la mejor forma? Porque para un entrenador, él puede decir la mejor forma.
Ganador. Mira, tú dame tus 200 a mí. Y yo te lo...
Yo, what is he opened up at? Probox, check Probox. He'll never be 40 again. Yo dudo que te vuelvan a poner de que 40 por uno otra vez.
No,
ya eres campeón del mundo.
No, ya el secreto ha salido. I was just telling him that I doubt he'll ever be a 40-1 underdog in his life again.
I'm gonna send you that one from Caesars, 50-1.
I do got some Patreon questions. Let me see. I think they sent me a link here. We're gonna get you out of here.
And I am checking those odds.
I'm gonna send it to you.
Did you? That says 40, right? Yeah, they sent. Both sent it to me, but it also says 40. Brandon, where is that post? He always make me find it myself, bro. So, all right, Brandon, if you don't send it, we out of here. I don't know where. Oh, here it goes. Hector Luis Garcia. First one is de Nueva York, David Maldonado.
Y estas son preguntas de la afición de nuestros seguidores que. Obviamente le dimos a ver que iba a venir al programa y pusieron ahí una pregunta.
Actually, the first is from James Valdez in San Antonio, Texas, who says, will you be fighting Ryan Garcia in Las Vegas in April after you defeat Tank Davis? Let's go, champ.
Dice que si usted va a pelear con Ryan aquí en Las Vegas después que le gane al tanque.
En abril.
Sí, claro. Sí, posible, sí, claro, cómo no.
He's like, absolutely, if we can make that happen, why not?
Hold up.
So,
do you think that life would work that way and if you beat Tank, you would get the Ryan fight? Quiero preguntarle si tú crees que la vida puede funcionar así. Tú le ganas a Tank y después sí te ofrecen la pelea de Ryan.
Sí, puede funcionar porque está pasando en mi carrera. Mm-hmm. Está sucediendo.
¿Qué pasaría en la,
you got to translate. He said, yes, it could happen because as you can see, it's happening in my life right now.
I want to ask him, like, what would happen in a DR, but I just don't know how to really word that. Like, January 7th, he beats Tank. Like, what's the reaction? What's the DR?
Si en enero 7 tú ganas aquí en diciembre, ¿cuál va a ser la reacción de la República Dominicana, del país? ¿Tú crees que algo, qué tú imaginas que va a pasar allá?
No, eso sería histórico para la República Dominicana.
Y lo digo porque obviamente en ahora en día él es una de las caras más reconocidas
del
boxeo. Entonces, aunque tal vez gente allá no vea boxeo seguido, lo han visto ahí tal vez en las redes sociales, han visto su highlight de su knockout. O sea, entonces yo me imaginaría o un triunfo contra el tanque para tu país sería algo histórico.
Histórico, sí. Y una motivación para los demás, para los jóvenes que vienen detrás.
So I was saying, obviously, you know, he's a world champion, but Gervonta, regardless, is one of the most recognized figures in the sport. And that even for the Dominican people that don't watch boxing, they know Tank's face. They've seen one of his knockouts. They've seen him on social media. They've seen something. So what he would think his Dominican people, how they would react. And he's like, look, absolutely, you're correct. And it'd be something historical, you know, to bring for the people. I got the odds. Not that good.
What?
7-1.
That's good. That's Danny Garcia.
7-1 on two sites. And
what about our site?
Nothing yet. And 5-1 Trash. On another. So
Bovada don't have nothing?
No. And DraftKings doesn't even have anything yet. So. Still a month and a half out. So
7-1 te tienen. So para cada 100 son 700.
Entonces son 1,400 estamos hablando. y si lo quieres hacer grande,
que la pongan igual que Colbert.
No, pero él no puede poner 200, ganarse 1,400 y después darle a la iglesia 140, es un 10%.
Claro.
So look, Bob, his 200 at a plus, because they got him a plus 700, right? His 200 plus 700, $1,400, 10% to the church. We got 140 to the church.
No good.
Yo, all right, so we got one more here from David Maldonado, who says, who you think wins between El Shakur versus Devin Haney? ¿Qué tú piensas que gana contra El Shakur contra Devin Haney?
Esa sí sería buena pelea. A mí me gusta esa pelea porque son dos peleadores que tú no determinas dónde está la victoria de cada uno, porque yo creo que la pelea va a pasar 0-0. Okay. Oh, empate.
Pero usted cree que sí pase la pelea o no?
Sí, okay. sería bueno para determinar, para que ellos determinen su pronóstico.
He's like, look, no, that's one of those fights that would be a great fight, a true 50-50 fight. He's like, I always say it's going to be a draw. I think it's an amazing fight and a fight that will really determine each of their trajectories.
We got Ruin of 504, and he asks, do you think the entire world is still overlooking you? It says, is the entire world overlooking you again?
Que si usted cree que todo el mundo está sobreviéndolo otra vez, que si no lo están considerando para esta pelea, y ya piensa todo el mundo que el tanque directo abril, mayo contra Ryan.
Bueno, eso es bueno. Bueno, cada boxeador piensa diferente, y es bueno que él tenga planes antes de enfrentarme. Eso es bueno porque tiene su atletismo alto, eso me gusta, y no me preocupa nada de eso.
He's like, look, I don't care that they are overlooking me. That's good, that's good at the end of the day. And honestly, I'm glad that Tank has something lined up with Ryan, because that means that he has high self-esteem, and so do I. So I like that.
He's not looking at that as a slight bit overlooking?
Entonces, usted no lo ve como que si no le están, como que si lo están sobreviendo otra vez.
No.
He says no.
I know that he didn't watch the Rise podcast, but tell him the Tank's two trainers share a podcast called the Rise podcast, where they called him Ryan Garcia's uncle, basically saying that he looks old and that Tank would dispatch of him because of that.
Dice que no sabe si usted sabía, pero que los entrenadores del tanque que tienen una emisora y que every time I talk to you, y que hicieron un comentario hablando de usted, diciendo que usted el tío de Ryan García, dando a entender que se ve un poco más viejo y no sé, tal vez queriendo ser un poco chistoso.
Sí, pero realmente el real García soy yo. O sea, yo no soy el tío, soy el abuelo. Para ellos, que si ellos me quieren poner como abuelo, que me pongan como abuelo, porque yo soy el real García. El verdadero.
He says, look, I'm the real Garcia. So shit, fuck a uncle, I'll be the grandfather. Make me the grandfather. He says, I'm the real Garcia. I'll be el abuelito, the grandpa.
I'm going to refresh in case we got a late one. If not, that is it. Ask him to give out the social media.
Denos sus redes sociales, Héctor. Obviamente, muchas gracias por acompañarnos aquí. Nos da un gusto tenerlo aquí. Obviamente, un placer hablar con usted antes de su gran pelea contra el tanque el 7 de enero, Showtime Pay-Per-View. Denos sus redes sociales donde la gente lo pueda seguir y obviamente seguir su carrera y su historia.
Bueno, gracias a ustedes, ante nada, por la invitación a nosotros, a mi patrón, Vos Santo, que se la merece. Y se merece el entrenador del año porque ha hecho un extraordinario trabajo con nosotros, con los dominicanos. Esto es infinitivamente indiscutible. Se lo merece. Mi respeto para él. Y vamos a seguir trabajando positivo así como estamos. Gracias a ustedes nuevamente por la invitación. Muy agradable. De mucha importancia para que el mundo sepa.
Gracias.
El mundo sepa la generación, la nueva generación del boxeo. La nueva cara del boxeo. Mis redes sociales en Instagram, Android García.
Why Androde? Why Androde and not Hector? ¿Por qué Androde y por qué no dice Hector?
Android García.
Sí, pero ¿por qué dice Androide y no dice Hector? ¿Cuál es tu nombre primero?
Hector Luis García. Hector Luis García.
Entonces, ¿qué quiere decir Androide?
Que soy un Androide.
Oh, Android. Okay. So it's Android Garcia. And I'm like, yo, but why is it Android Garcia and not fucking Hector Garcia? He's like, because I'm an Android. I didn't know. I thought that was like another fucking Spanish name. You know how us Latinos have like four names.
Right. Ese es mi apodo.
Okay. No, porque tú sabes como nosotros los latinos tenemos como cuatro nombres. Sí. Y dice, coño, se llama Hector Luis y también Android.
No, ese es mi apodo. Okay. Mi apodo, mi logotipo.
Entró una tarde, one came in late, from Brandon in Houston, who says, do you feel that you have to be perfect defensively versus Tank Davis?
Que si usted piense que tiene que ser perfecto
defensivamente
contra el tanque.
No.
No?
No.
Why? ¿Por qué?
Porque cada quien tenemos algo diferente, ¿me entiende? Yo tengo las cualidades y no tengo que ser tan perfecto.
He said, no, you know, I don't necessarily think I have to be perfect. You know, we all have our qualities and our skills, and it's going to show. So I don't think I necessarily have to be perfect the entire fight.
But you don't think he's like the lightweight version of Wilder?
Que si usted no piensa que el tanque es...
Y con más es skill.
Es la forma... El peleador peso ligero forma Wilder, obviamente con el poder, pero con mucho
skill,
mucho poder,
con
mucho talento más, porque no más es el poder, pero él
la
tiene
mirada, pero sí. También el boxeo, tiene el talento del
el boxeo,
sí. Tiene la mente. Mentalidad.
Sí, yo le doy su mérito al tanque, porque un peleador libra por libra. Merece respeto, como todos peleadores, ¿me entiendes? Pero yo no me, ¿qué te digo? Como que no me subestimo. Yo lo respeto como peleador, pero no me subestimo porque él tenga pegada, o sea, tenga tenga la cualidad específica, sí. para ganar su pelea. Eso no me preocupa.
Subestimo means like what? Yeah. I don't fear it?
No, I thought you were saying he doesn't overestimate him, but...
Dime esa palabra de nuevo. No lo subestimo?
Subestimo.
Do your thing, baby. Do your thing. You the champ at this, I'm telling you. Ringwalk Danny! Ringwalk Danny, ladies and gentlemen. That's Ringwalk Danny ahí, que te está haciendo todas las traducciones. Este hombre bueno, míralo.
It's a sudden.
Sudden?
Yeah.
Nah, it can't be sudden. It must got a double meaning. You know, that's the issue with Spanish translations, double meanings. Porque la traducción literalmente no suena como lo que
está diciendo.
Sí, lo que tú estás diciendo. Y es el problema del español, que tiene doble idioma.
No, más de doble, porque obviamente ustedes lo hablan de una forma, viene de España, España. España. Y en México es puro güey, chinga tu madre. Y en Cuba de una forma. No. Yo el muchacho que me corta, pues cuando tenía pelo, ahora el, no nomás la ahora es nomás la barba, pero cubano, tengo 7 años yendo con él y en vez me lo quedo mirando y ¿quién me dijo? Porque no, o sea, usted en vez de una palabra que uno no sabe y,
sí.
You know, just obviously telling Hector, you know, translating with there's a million forms of Spanish and you guys say one thing, we say another and it comes from Spain and a bunch of shit going on, but
so I just want to double down, and it's not because I want him to think that I want him to feel the power. I just don't think that the question was translated properly. So it's like, quiero repetirte la pregunta un poco, a ver si tal vez tú la entiendes mejor, porque yo estoy preguntando si tú no piensas que el tanque es como, que tiene el poder de Deontay Wilder en pegada, pero en su división.
Sí, sí, él tiene. Pero yo tengo primero que probar para saber.
He says, no, look, he has it, but I have to get a taste to know how much.
True. I know he wants to rap, Bob, but I can't let you go. Jamal finally showed his face. It's been 520-something days since the mandatory. He's talking about he's back in February. Did y'all get a call? Is he fighting you, or is they giving him a tune-up? What's going on?
I have no idea. If they would give us a call, we'd take that fight in a heartbeat. You know that. I have the utmost confidence in Adames, but we'll have to sit, wait, and see.
But are you going to contact the WBC? Because remember, at the convention, they did say that they were giving Charlo time. Because he was going through family issues, but they've already mandated your fighter as the mandatory.
He was injured.
Okay, they still mandated your fighter as the mandatory, and when he comes back, it was alleged, ordered that he's supposed to fight Adames. He's telling people he's back in February. He's not talking about Adames. He's calling out Bivol. He's trying to get other fights. So I don't know. When do you start to feel concerned and make some phone calls to the WBC specifically?
Well, again, we would fight him in a heartbeat. I mean, that's a fight that could be easily made. So, you know, let him test the waters. I don't begrudge him for trying to get a Canelo fight or a Bivol fight or what have you. But at the end of the day, if those fights can't come to fruition, then to me, it's necessary that he fights Carlos Adames. And we'll have to see how that transpires. But again, for the fans, for his legacy, that's another fight that would be an all-time great. And you know, so if you look at what he did with Montiel and you look at what Adames did with Montiel, I think there's no doubt. You know, I was telling people, hey, I feel very confident that Adames could beat Charlo, and a lot of people are, you know, on the fence. I don't know that there's so much on the fence now. Same thing I had with talking about David Morrell Jr., talking about fighting Canelo or Benavidez. And, you know, oh, he's only had 7 pro fights. Well, I think after his last performance, that played out, you know, to show what type of fighter he is. So, you know, for the most part, I know what you're talking about with the Barrios fight with Tank, but I feel confident in my fighters that they will be victorious, and that's why we make the fights, take the fights. And that being said, I think nobody can say now that Morrell wouldn't be a threat to Benavidez. I feel he'd be victorious. I don't think nobody could say he wouldn't be a threat to Canelo. And the same thing I feel with this man right sitting next to me with Gervonta Davis.
How realistic is Adames and Johnny Beck? Because obviously we've seen Adames go on social media and, you know, say he'll fight him. And then, you know, Johnny Beck responded on social media. Both men don't speak English, so we don't know who's tweeting for both men. But as a trainer handler, is that realistic for us as fight fans to see Adames cross the street to Top Rank?
Sure. You know, one thing that, you know, that Al has proven to me, when it came time to make Fury Wilder, wasn't a problem. When it came time to make Porter Crawford, wasn't a problem. So to me, that shows you what kind of promoter Al is. He wants the best fights for his fighters. I don't think it would be an issue. I don't think Al would have one problem putting Adames in with Janabek. Styles make fights. I think Carlos would put a clinic on Janabek. Maybe that's a bit biased, you know, coming
now,
from me. But
I don't know that I could disagree. I was very underwhelmed.
Yeah, but that's what happens in boxing. We judge you off your last performance.
Amen to that. But that being said, I just think Carlos has too many layers to his game. You know, and I've seen what Carlos has done with everybody in the gym, and I know what he's capable of. And it's the same thing with this man sitting right next to me. I know what this guy's capable of. I've seen him in with Devin Haney. And a lot of people are sleeping on this guy to their own apparel. And, again, getting back to the Gervonta fight with him, it's going to be an all-time classic. And anybody who thinks it's going to be easy hoeing.
Where'd that term come from? Our audience is going crazy with that easy hoeing.
You know,
that's
well,
a Bay Area?
Well, yeah. When I was a kid, you know, I grew up in the fields picking fruit. So, you know, on apricot ranches in East San Jose and things of that nature, my family came from, you know, picking in the fields. And so easy hoeing is just like, you know, when you get in certain areas around the fields, it's real easy to get the weeds out in certain areas of the field. So that's where it comes from, Bay Area thing. And just, you know, my family, my mom, Puerto Rican descent, and coming to the Bay Area and picking fruit.
See, we
were boxing from day one. My cousin fought in the 1956 Olympics, but my family was already boxing before that. We were boxing fruit.
See, I'm glad you asked. I'm not going to lie. I was like, what, you know, why does it matter? But, you know, the public was like, well, how could you be so religious, but you're using this phrase. But see, they thought you were referencing hoes like whores.
Oh, no. Yeah. We're talking about literally working in the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So a simple...
So that's a double meaning in English, too. We have double meanings in Spanish. We have double meanings
absolutely.
In English.
Absolutely. So simple, you know...
I'm glad you clarified that for me,
yeah,
Dan.
No,
I might not be able to come into the to church on Sunday.
No, I'm telling you, that's what... Because I kept... I'm like, why is everybody keep saying this? And then I'm like, okay, I get it. But I know, but you know, some of these people...
Hector, ¿entendiste algo? ¿Quieres que te traducimos?
There's no translation for that, though.
I mean, there's an attempt.
No,
lead a man in the dark.
No, I mean, there is no attempt because it's
sí,
like...
Sí, sí, porque esa palabra hoeing
sí.
En inglés se okay. Puede...
En español.
No, no, en inglés.
No,
en inglés
tiene doble sentido,
okay.
O sea, y yo no sabía. So... Nosotros estamos escuchando a él decir esa palabra y todo el mundo que está escuchando esto en vivo está poniendo, pero coño, va a estar diciendo que él es de la iglesia, un hombre religioso.
Y
pero
para nosotros esa palabra es anda ahí puteando, anda...
No puteando, pero tú eres, está poniendo la mujer en la puteada.
Sí.
Right? Like, easy hoeing. I don't know. It's difficult, but
yeah.
We had to, teníamos que arreglarlo porque yo estoy viendo que la gente están pensando mal de ellos.
Sí.
No, espérate, dime de dónde sale esa palabra. Pero
es
ya vamos a terminar y tirar otra foto. Guys, we're good. We can wrap up. We'll take this picture if any of you fine engineer badasses want to come and take this pic for us. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Hector, thank you for coming on. Please, once again, give out your social media. Obviamente,
yes.
Gracias por venir. Y de tu redes sociales otra vez, por favor.
Android García, Instagram.
Nuz GTO, Ring Woke Danny. Catch us tomorrow. Oh, the Boxing Voice. Bob, do you have any social media?
Old school. No media. No,
okay.
Flip phone?
No, that's smart. That's how you don't get caught up. But catch us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Pacific. We are the Boxing Voice. Peace.
Peace. Yeah, with all the translation we did.